Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Studying that book, and so today we're going to continue that series. Let me ask you a question as the offering's being received today. Have you ever watched the film Shawshank Redemption? Anybody ever saw that? When I share something like that, I just want you to know it's not necessarily a recommendation, but an illustration. But this is a story of an innocent man who was convicted of killing his wife and then was sentenced to life behind bars. And so it's a compelling story and those kind of things. But can you imagine if you found yourself in that situation? Can you imagine if you found yourself in a situation, a life situation, where you were wrongly convicted of a crime that you didn't commit, and you can't even imagine committing it or even carrying it out? Can you imagine if you were not only charged with murdering one person, not two, but six people, including four children? Can you imagine that being accused of that, you received the death penalty for these crimes you did not commit? Imagine on the date of your execution, not once, but twice, a stay coming just days before you were to be put to death. Imagine that you're in prison for years and years, 18 years in all, before anything changes. See, that was the story of a guy by the name of Anthony Graves. Anthony Graves lived this horrific ordeal. He eventually was exonerated. He was eventually released after his case was reviewed by a law professor and her students with the Innocence Project, which is a group committed to overturning legal injustice, and they were committed to this in our country. His experiences would have driven even the most patient person to lose their faith. Even the most patient, faith-filled person, they might have been moved to despair. His case was mishandled at every level, and the Texas Attorney General cited egregious misconduct by the prosecutor in his trial. But if you talk to Anthony today, you won't find a man who is bitter. In fact, if you hear him speak about his experiences, you'll find one of the most positive, one of the most inspiring, one of the most hope-filled people you would ever meet. His credibility is off the charts. He's a man who suffered injustice on a grand scale, losing about two decades of his life along with his reputation. But throughout that time, Anthony never lost faith. He definitely wrestled with God once or twice. In fact, at one time he was reading James chapter 1 where it said, "Consider it all joy. Consider it joy whenever you face trials of many kinds." He got so angry he took his Bible and he threw it at the wall. But every day he became confident as he continued to press in that although he knew he was innocent, although God knew he was innocent, and whoever committed those crimes, those three were probably the only ones that knew that he was innocent. Even in the midst of that, he began to wrestle and he began to find and hope that God was somehow going to turn this situation around, that God was going to use this situation for good, that God was going to use it for his glory. And God kept his promise to Anthony Graves. Today, Anthony speaks, he blogs, he writes about prison reform, capital punishment, the legal system, and he tells thousands and thousands of people his testimony about his faith in Jesus, his love of God. It's abundantly evident because he knows what it means to have hope even in the midst of despair. And friends, I want to tell you the same can be true for you. The same can be true for you in your situation, in your desperateness. We've been studying, as I said, the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk wasn't imprisoned, but he did know what it was like to be confined to terrible circumstances. Nevertheless, he was still able to remember all that the Lord had done for him, and he was able to find hope in God, even in the midst of the darkest situation. Even in the midst of the darkest situation, he was having hope and trusting that God could bring him through. See, Habakkuk has three chapters. Today we're going to be in the third chapter, of the book of Habakkuk. And you know, the book of Habakkuk is one of these things where we've seen Habakkuk kind of wrestle through some things. And we've seen Habakkuk in the midst of this. And if you haven't been with us, let me just give you just a couple of little tidbits and backstory. Habakkuk is a minor prophet. It didn't mean that he was a lesser prophet. He just wrote less. And so he has a bit of a smaller segment here in the Bible. Again, only three chapters and a minor prophet. And he wrote about 600 years B.C., 600 years before Christ. He was the one that was kind of writing about this. And Habakkuk was different than other prophets. Other prophets, they would hear a message from God and they would speak to the people on behalf of God. But Habakkuk has some questions. He doesn't understand some things that God is doing, some things that God is speaking. And so rather than speaking to the people on behalf of God, instead he begins to speak to God on behalf of what he's seeing, on behalf of the people, on behalf of the injustice, on behalf of their need. And he begins to take those questions and those wonders and those things that he has to God. The name Habakkuk means to wrestle and embrace. And chapter 1 can be summarized as wondering. Wondering. He asks a lot of questions. He's wondering. And perhaps in your life, you're wondering about some things. There's some things you just don't understand. Things you see happening in the world. Injustice. Or maybe there's things happening in your own situation, in your own life, and you're left wondering. And that's what he finds. He finds himself wondering. And then in chapter 2, as he's wondering and saying, this doesn't seem fair. In chapter 2, we find that he's waiting. He's waiting. And I'm thinking, you know, oh man, God, you gotta do something. He's asking, and God speaks to him in chapter 1. The end of chapter 1, God begins to speak, and he says, listen, I'm gonna do something you haven't seen. I'm gonna do something that's gonna amaze you. And Habakkuk's going, all right, Lord, tell me something that's gonna amaze me. And then he turns around and he says, you know, your enemies, the Babylonians, I'm gonna use them to come in, and they're gonna be my justice to you. Your enemies, those crazy lunatic Babylonians, those ones that are, they're going to come in and they're going to take you captive and they're going to be my arm of justice. And so he's like, whoa, hold on a sec. I don't understand this. And so that wondering and that questioning then turns into waiting, because he says, you know what, but I know God is good. I know that God is just. And he's trying to embrace what he knows about God, and yet at the same time wrestling with the questions. And he finds himself with God not answering, not resolving everything right away. And he finds himself in a season of waiting. Have you ever been in a season of waiting? And one of the verses that we read said, though it linger, wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. And after the message last week, Tom Martino had come. I'm going to invite him to come. He came and he said, hey, Pastor, I got a testimony. In fact, I almost couldn't stay in my seat. I almost wanted to interrupt you and share. And I said, well, why don't you share your testimony? Why don't you share your testimony this week? So I'm going to invite Tom to come, share his testimony before we continue with the message today.
I own a small company, and the Lord has blessed it. I mean, he really has blessed it. And 3 years ago, Kathy and I decided we're going to open our home up to a Bible study. Pothole number one in the road. Because things started to happen, the enemy just started throwing up roadblocks. But that was okay. We expected that. At that time, the Lord laid upon my heart that I really wanted to get back into teaching here at the church. And I talked to the pastor, and it fit with his plans about a discipleship class. He said, what do you want to teach about? And I said, Pastor, I got to tell you, spiritual warfare. Wrong subject. Because as soon as I said that, and students, I started to prepare the months ahead of time preparing, the attacks were something we have never experienced in our life. Family, attacks on the family, bad stuff, health scares. But we can get through this. And then one day, all income from my company stopped. I mean, like that. Couldn't explain it. Still to this day, can't explain it. But all income for 3 years, wasn't a little brook drying up like the prophet sitting there going, oh, it's getting dry, I got to do something. This was right now, it stopped. The Lord and I had a couple conversations. And those conversations usually were me yelling, why? Why? But as I went back and you look at the book of Habakkuk, look, he's in control. And the whole thing came back to, you know, as much as we went through this and we talked about, you know, we didn't stop the Bible study, we didn't stop the class. And then I went, I said, well, I'm going to teach a class on the Holy Spirit. And when you start to teach a class on the Holy Spirit, you're looking for, well, you know what? It got worse. And there's a price, but that's okay. But then last week, I'm watching a missionary who's saying, whatever the cost, I'm not a missionary. I don't have that kind of a story. I'm just a guy who has nothing left. You know, I got people telling me, well, don't worry about it. Sell what you have left to the company. I mean, we are down to the last month. If nothing happened within this last month, this thing's just going to fold. I got people telling me to retire. God didn't tell me to retire. I'm not doing what God doesn't tell me to do. He didn't say retire, so I can't retire. I have no income. That's not my choice. It's not up to me to worry about that. It's him. You see, my dad always said, I'm a child of the king. And as a child of the king, you're not going to be walking around in rags and going hungry. So I was sitting there going, Lord, I don't know what to do. I am at the end. There is no more. And I'm in the backyard one day. Because you can only do so many sales proposals. You can only do so many calls. There was no place to go to work. I work, you know, out of a home office. There was no place to go. What are you going to do? My subcontractors, they're gone. Walking around the backyard one day, my phone rings. Tom, we'd like to meet with you. Name the date, time, and place. I'll be there, nothing else, you know. So I go. He said, you know, we know your reputation in terms of the product that you do and handle. We understand it. Would you do that for us? I said, well, I don't, yeah. I mean, I don't even have a sales proposal. Don't worry about it. Do whatever it takes to make it right. I said, do you understand what you're saying? He said, yeah, do you understand what we're saying? Here's the interesting thing. I went from getting ready to close up shop to a phone call that more than doubled the size of my company. 3 years of no income. 3 years of sitting there going, Lord, why? But I'm still going to show up. I'm still going to go. But there was a verse that came out last week. It says this. I will stand. It's in second chapter, first. It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me, and I will answer when I'm reproved. I got to wait. But in my waiting, I got to take a posture. And that posture is not wallowing because I'm a wallower. You know, I'm going to sit there and go, the what ifs and I are really good friends. You know, I'm going to wallow in it. What if? How come? What do I? No. The posture that I was told to take was get up in a tower and watch. Not to see how the battle goes, but to watch because my battle's already been won. Get up in the tower and look. Expect what he has promised to have happen. And how long do I have to stay in this tower? It doesn't really matter. You see, once you're up in the tower, you're out of the what ifs. Once you're up in the tower, you're out of all the stuff that drags you back down. You can't reach your dreams when your feet are sitting here. You've got to get up here. And I'm sitting there and I'm in the tower. And it said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. Then all of a sudden the pastor said three words last week. It didn't matter how bad the circumstances were. He said those three words, I started bawling like a baby. Because it's so true. But the Lord. But the Lord. There was nothing but the Lord. He had it all the whole time. He knew the whole time. And he knew where I had to go. But the Lord. Don't ever let. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter if it's health. It doesn't matter if it's finance. It doesn't matter if it's relationships. It does not matter. Get up in the tower and wait because, but the Lord will deliver. He's delivered so much. He's delivered. I can't even tell you.
Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes it just helps to hear a personal story. You know, someone is waiting on the Lord, and God came through, but the Lord. You see, when it's God's time, you can't force it, and when it's God's time, you can't stop it. When it's God's time, you can't force it. When it's God's time, you can't stop it. Position ourselves. Wait on the Lord. Some of you are wondering. Some of you are doubting. Some of you are waiting, but the Lord is seated in His temple. In His temple, and as Tom said, but the Lord. And that's how he ends chapter 2. But the Lord. But the Lord is still in the temple. And when there's but the Lord, there is still hope. When there's but the Lord, there's still hope in the dark. When there's but the Lord, in the midst of the waiting, in the midst of the wondering, there is still hope. And so here's what Habakkuk turns to. And I want to read Habakkuk chapter 1 and chapter 3 and verse 1. And sometimes this is something we can just read right over and read right through because we don't understand. We don't get it because it's a word that really doesn't mean. But there's a word here that's really important in verse 1 that I want you to get. Because chapter 3 is a prayer. Chapter 3 is a prayer. Chapter 3 is where Habakkuk has positioned himself. He's wondering, he's waiting, and this is his prayer. Chapter 3 is his prayer. And verse 1 says this, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. I had to read how to say that word. It almost sounds like you're cursing. Shigionoth. I want to pause because what does Shigionoth mean? What is Shigionoth? Well, I looked it up, and guess what? Shigionoth is the plural of Shigion. All right, there we go. In fact, there's not a whole lot that's known about these words, but it's the plural of Shigion. Shigion is actually a word that was only used one time in the Bible. It was used in Psalm chapter 7. And Shigionoth is only used one time in the Bible, and that's here in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 1. What does Shigionoth mean? What does Shigion mean? What in the world is this word that sounds like a curse word that we can hardly say mean? Well, I had to look it up, and from what I found, it means this. It's instructions on the kind of mood or the kind of tone or how to sing a particular song. That's what it is. It's directions on how to sing a song, how to sing a psalm. It's a musical term that instructs the congregation of people how to sing. For example, I might say to you, hey, we're going to sing this next worship song, and I want you to sing it as a love song to God. Or it might be, I want you to sing this with kind of a jazzy tone. I want you to jazz it up a little bit. Or you know what? This song, the kind of tone of this song, this is going to be a little hip-hop. All right? I want you to floss. Now, I don't know what that is. That's, you know, for those of you that are older, you know, this is not a dental term. You know, and I'm still working on it. I can't get it. I'm really not very good at it. So I'm not even going to demonstrate for you because then you're all going to get up and leave. You know, God's still possible. He can do all things possible, right? All things are possible with God. That's it, right? Yeah, except for teaching me how to floss. That was not that. Anyway, Shigionoth is a kind of tone to the music. It's kind of telling you how to sing. What's the kind of, how ought you to sing this? And so here's what he's saying. Shigionoth means this, to sing with strong emotion, with impassioned exuberance. It means wild, passionate singing with rapid changes of rhythm. It's high-spirited praise. It's vigorous enthusiasm. One article that I read, and please don't get offended by this, but said the word is not a whiny cry in your beer ballad. All right? If you want to kind of get an idea, that's not what the word is. It's the opposite of that. If you're in the mood to kind of cry and be with your friends and kind of pout, that's not what Shinanoth means. Shinanoth, an article said this, and I quote, "It is praise punctuated with exclamation marks." Praise with exclamation marks. So here you have Habakkuk, who has just had all of these questions. He's experiencing all of these things that he's seeing in life that don't make sense. He's wrestling with these things and wondering with these things, and yet at the same time trying to embrace what he knows about God. He gets news and a word from God. God answers him, but doesn't answer him in the way that he expects. The Babylonians, your enemies, they're going to come in and they're going to wreck you. And he's going, what? They're even worse than we are. How could you use them? God, this doesn't make sense. And he's in this period of wondering and waiting and wrestling and trying to embrace. And in chapter 3, he gets to a place where he opens and says, this is a prayer, but this is how you ought to sing it. This is not a woeful, oh, woe is me. We're going to just kind of... No, this is praise with exclamation marks. Do you know what he's choosing to do? He's choosing to worship. He's choosing to worship. He's talking about praise, passionate, authentic praise. Praise before what? Praise before the provision. He's saying, I'm choosing to praise before the answer comes. I'm choosing to praise before this is wrapped up. I'm choosing to praise before God does anything. Because it's not about the what, it's about the who. I'm choosing to praise not because of the what. The what right now I don't understand. The what right now doesn't make sense. But I know who is in control. And I'm choosing to praise because of the who, not the what. I'm choosing to praise before the provision. Habakkuk 3:2 continues. He says, Lord, and I read it earlier, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. I love what he's saying. What he's saying here is, Lord, you need to repeat. I know what you've done. I'm remembering what you've done. I know what you've already done. I know what's happened in the past. I know what you're capable of. I've seen you do it. I've seen you do it before. Will you do it again? Did we sing that this morning? Did we sing that this morning? I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way. And I believe I see you do it again. Right? What? I see you do it again. Why? God, I know what you've done. I know what you've done. And that's part of the prayer. That's part of what we see in this whole thing. That when something difficult happens and it leaves you wondering, and he says, you know what? I know about the goodness of my God. I've seen the goodness of my God. This doesn't make sense about what I've seen, but I know the goodness of my God. When you're waiting and you say, I know my God is able, but why isn't he coming through? Why isn't he doing it in my time? But I know my God is able. You're saying, I remember, I remember, I remember, I remember, I remember. I remember, and that's what he's doing. You see, what you see with your eyes is different than what you believe in your heart. That's when you find yourself in the valley. What do you do when you're crying out before God? When you want him to hear your prayer and you believe that he can bring relief and he can bring blessing and he can bring provision, but he doesn't do it. What do you do? And here's what Habakkuk, this is chapter 3. If chapter 1 is wondering and chapter 2 is waiting, chapter 3 is worship. He is choosing to worship. And what is he choosing to worship? It's not about the what. The circumstances haven't changed. The provision hasn't come. But he's choosing to worship based on the who, based on what he remembers about God. He chooses to remember. Verse 3, God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. These places don't mean anything to us. But to those who were Israelites, to those that knew the stories, to those that had them passed down, to those that remembered, these were two places that God brought his people for refuge after he brought them out of Egypt. After he brought them out of Egypt, These were two places that he had brought them to for refuge. He says, basically what he's saying is, God, you know what? I remember when our people were in bondage. I remember when Pharaoh was like huge and in control and we were just a bunch of slaves for 400 years. I remember when we felt as if we had no hope, as if we couldn't escape, as if we were in prison. But I remember how you brought us out, and I remember how you were our refuge. We remember Teman. We remember Mount Paran. We remember how faithful you were, how good you were. Do it again. Verses 4 through 6, his splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hands where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. How do you summarize this? You summarize this with remembering that he is faithful. And remembering that he is good. And remembering that he brings justice. And remembering that he gives his presence. Oh God, I remember your faithfulness. God, I remember your goodness. God, I remember that you're a just God. That you will have justice. I remember that you will bring it to pass. I remember that you give us your presence. Man, he could have said stuff like this. Well, some of this stuff maybe didn't happen in his day. But you and I can say stuff like this. God, we remember when you provided your people with manna from heaven. We remember how our clothes didn't wear out. We remember how you provided meat from the quail that you blew in when you decided to blow it in. If you want to provide food, you can provide food. You can just blow it in. Why? Because you own it all. God, we remember that. Because that's you. God, we remember how you were faithful to Daniel when he was in the lion's den. We remember how you were faithful to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fire. You were there with them and you brought them out. None of their clothes were even singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. We remember how when there was Goliath that was calling out, who was mocking and mocking and mocking. We remember how your presence was faithful with David and how you took down the giant. We remember how you were faithful when we came up against the walls of Jericho. In an unlikely way, you said, just march around them. And we marched around and we shouted in praise and the walls came down. We know that you are able. We remember what you've done. See, memory is one of those things that's difficult. We need to remember the goodness and the faithfulness of God. I won't read verses 7 to 15, but they're all about remembering the faithfulness of God. They're all about the memory. He's remembering the goodness of God. And friends, if we want in the wondering and the waiting, we want to get to the worship, it means that we've got to start to go back and remember what God has done. We've got to remember the who when the what just hasn't happened yet. We've got to remember the who. Secondly, you've got to embrace. If you want to worship, worship is about embracing. Habakkuk's name, to wrestle and to embrace. To wrestle and to embrace. And when we're in the valley, we've got to embrace that God is still good. When we remember those things, we've got to hang on. We've got to hang on to that confidence and remember that God is good. Remember the who, the character and the nature of God, and not the circumstances. He felt like the enemy, the Babylonians, might have been winning. And they were. And he recognized, hey, this is a bad situation. This wasn't a denial of the situation. This wasn't a denial of what was present. He was embracing what was present. He looked and he said, you know what? This is bad. This is bad. And yet he still dedicated himself to say, but God is still on the throne. But my God is still on the throne. My God is always faithful. And I love it because it's not about denial, but it's about embracing. It's not pretending that something isn't true. It's about sharing with God. This is the way I see it. This is the situation that's before me. I see it this way. But God, I'm embracing what I know about you. I'm embracing your goodness. And in verse 16, this is what he says. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nations invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Wow. I mean, that is a declaration, isn't it? Remember, this is shishanoth. This is with exuberance. This isn't moaning. This isn't like a lamentations in Jeremiah kind of a woe. This is a shishanoth. This is with exclamation marks. Praise with exclamation marks. And when he's saying my heart pounded, you know, this is not an exciting, you know, oh, this is all the love of my life. My heart is pounding. Oh my goodness, I see you. This is not that kind of heart pounding. This is like fear heart pounding. This is like, I don't know what's coming, heart pounding. This is like everything in me, when I see this situation, when I'm looking at the situation before me, everything within me makes my bones shake. I'm so fearful because of how this is. When he's saying about it, he's looking and he goes, I know the Babylonians are coming. Man, and they are not a good people. They are a ruthless people. They are going, there is bad stuff coming. I see the bad stuff that is coming. I know what's coming. And because of that, my heart is pounding and I am afraid. Maybe it's the diagnosis you get when you go to the doctor, or the test that's lingering out there and you're waiting on it. Maybe it's the finances. You look at the checkbook and you just don't know. Or you know that the impending doom of the job is coming and you're not sure where the income is going to come. Whatever it is, like this is what he is. He's looking at the situation, not in denial, but recognizing the situation, and his heart is pounding and he's afraid, yet he chooses to worship. He chooses to embrace the who. He chooses to embrace God. And look what he says. And this is what he's looking at. What makes him tremble so much? He goes, I wait patiently the day of calamity to come to the nations invading us. In other words, this is what I say. This is what I embrace about God. God, you're just. God, you're faithful. And although they may come in, I know that there will be justice upon them one day because you're a just God. That's what he's embracing. And then he says this. He goes, here, this is what's impending. This is what's making me shake. The fig tree does not bud. No grapes on the vine. No olive crop. Though the olive crop fails, the fields produce no sheep. In other words, we have no economy here. All right, there is nothing. There is no food. There is no economy. There is no harvest. There is nothing that is here. What I am seeing before me is a lot of loss. There's no cattle in the pens. There's no sheep in the pen. There's none of that. Our economy that is before us says that there is nothing. That is my reality, is that it's empty. But I make a choice. I make a choice. My choice is to embrace the God I know. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Worship. He's choosing to remember. And is he choosing to embrace who he knows, the God that he knows. And in the midst of the situation where everything looks empty, he is choosing to embrace God, the Lord, his Savior. Wrestling and embracing. And this is the praise before the provision. This is the exclamation points at the end. I choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. I am making a choice. I am making a choice. Wrestle and embrace. Wrestle and embrace. You see, in chapter 1, don't walk away from God. He's okay to handle your questions. He's okay with your wondering. He's okay with you opening up and sharing. He's okay with the questioning and the wrestling, because we've got to learn how to wrestle sometimes with God. Jacob had to wrestle with God before he was changed and before he was given a new name. There had to be a wrestling that took place. And there are times when God will bring us through the wrestling. There are times where God will give us situations we can't handle that we've got to wrestle with, because it's in the wrestling that we lead to the intimacy that Habakkuk has. He's wrestling and wondering. And in chapter 2, don't quit on God. He's waiting. He's persevering. Don't quit. Wrestle. Persevere. Continue to wait. Why? Because God wants to take your roots deeper. God wants to take you into a deeper intimacy with him. God wants to take you into a deeper relationship with him. And that doesn't always happen on the mountain. That happens in the valleys. That happens when you dig in. That happens when you persevere. That happens when you wrestle, when you wait. And as you wrestle and you wait and you begin to know the God in the midst of the valleys, your worship and your intimacy with God, what you know about God gets deeper. Because it's no longer about a what. It's no longer about a, ooh, I gave my life to Jesus and it's wonderful and oh, life is going so good. Ooh, look, I got to the mall and it was really busy and I got a front row parking space. Bless the Lord. Ooh, I prayed and God answered my prayer right away. Oh, hallelujah. God says, that's great, but guess what? I want you to go deeper than just the what. When Jesus fed the 5,000, it was wonderful. ooh, our bellies are full. This is wonderful. Let's chase Jesus around. And when they caught up to Jesus, Jesus said, you know what? You're only following me because of the what? But I want to take you deeper unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And they said, what? We don't want any part. Show us a sign. I did. I took 5 loaves and a couple of fish and I fed 5,000. What more of a sign do you want? I've raised the sick. I've healed blinded eyes. I've healed deaf ears. I've casted out demons. What do you want? Because you know what? Some of us, our relationship with God is only as deep as the what. Some of us, our relationship with God only goes as deep as what God has done for me lately. It's kind of like our fandom. Woo, the Indians, until they lose 2 in a row. And we're like, oh, the Indians, they stink. Oh, the Browns, Baker Mayfield, yay! And then they lose last week, and we're all like, oh, what happened? Fire the coach. And that's what we're with God. Most of us, our relationship with God is fans. We're fans. The depth of our relationship with God is I'm a fan. It's only as good as what you do for me lately. I can come in and praise. Oh, hallelujah, God. Look what you did for me lately. Hallelujah, God is blessing me. Woohoo, God is blessing me. But you know what? The intimacy with God happens in the valleys. The intimacy with God happens when the what doesn't happen right away. And you got to press in and learn to get to know the who. Get to know the character. Get to know the nature. Get to know who God is as God my Savior. Because you know what? When it's just about the what's, there's a lot of things we go to for the what's. If it's all just about happiness and feel good, there's a lot of things you can turn to in this life for happiness and feel good in a moment. There's a lot of idols you can turn to. A lot of things you can be fans of that can provide for you a little bit of a jolt in the moment. But you won't experience the depth of relationship and the lasting eternal value of a relationship with Jesus. In turn, you learn how to persevere, how to wonder, how to wait, how to embrace, and how to worship in the valley. How to worship in the valley. How to worship when it isn't going well. How to worship when you don't understand. How to worship when even in the midst of things that don't make sense and you say, but I know this about God because I remember this is what God did. And I remember that this is what God did. And so in the midst of the wrestling, by faith, you embrace the God you know and you embrace his promises and you say, you know what? I know that someday those Babylonians are going to get it. Someday, whatever this situation is, theirs is coming. Someday, God's going to provide. Someday, the fruit's going to be back on the vine. Someday there's going to be sheep in the pen. Someday there's going to be cattle in the stalls. Someday there's going to be olives that are going to be there. And there's going to be grapes that are going to be there. Someday we're going to celebrate. So I'm going to worship because I know someday God's going to come through. So I'm going to hang on and I'm going to worship. I'm going to hang on and I'm going to worship. And I'm going to consider it pure joy whenever I face trials of many kinds, because I know the testing of my faith develops that perseverance, that waiting. And when that perseverance becomes full, mature and complete, I'll be lacking nothing. Because that's what God wants to bring. He wants to bring me to a new depth in my relationship with him. A depth not just simply on the what, but a depth that goes down to the who, to the very character of God. Takes my relationship deeper. Come on, there's somebody here, you need to praise God. There's somebody here, you don't see it, you need to praise God even when you don't see it, even when you don't hear it, even when you don't feel it. There's somebody here, you need to make a decision to praise God. There's somebody here, it's time to cry out and praise him. Like when they were beaten, when Paul and Silas were beaten in that prison, there are some of you that need to praise, because it's the praise that's going to shake off the chains. It's the praise that's going to shake off the chains. It's the praise that's going to shake off the despair. It's the praise that's going to shake off the hopelessness. It's the praise. And you say, but I don't feel it. Guess what? Feelings follow action. Feelings follow obedience. It's time to be obedient. It's time to praise the God of the who. Not just the God of the what. It's time to lift up Jesus. It's time to praise. It's time to praise with everything inside. Let me tell you something. You can't have the chapter 3 intimacy and worship unless you have the chapter 1 wondering and the chapter 2 waiting. There's something God does in us, a trust, a faith, a passion. And he does it when we're in the valley. He does it as we're wrestling and as we try to embrace the who. Friends, some of you need to begin to embrace. You need to begin to worship. Maybe you're wondering. Maybe you're in the waiting zone. Maybe you're at a place where you don't really want to be right now. Maybe you want to continue to embrace God, yet you're wrestling. You're wrestling with some things you don't understand, things that don't make sense. Maybe you're low right now. Maybe you're down and you're low right now. Listen, I'm convinced that sometimes God will allow us to get low so that we have nowhere else, no more low to go until we look up. Until we look up. There are times we got to get low in order to look up. You're hurting, you're desperate, you feel alone, you feel guilty, you feel ashamed, you feel broken. What do you do in the midst of that? What do you do? What do you do when you're in that place? Friends, it's time to look up and it's time to worship. You're not here by accident today, friends. God cares about you. God cares about you. And some of you came today. You haven't been here for the other two, but you came today and this is exactly what you needed to hear. Why? Because God loves you. God cares about you. God wants you to embrace Him. God wants you to learn how to press in. God wants you to learn how to wrestle with Him, how to ask your questions and wrestle, and how to wait and how to persevere. God wants you to learn how to trust Him. God wants you to learn how to go deeper in your faith and how to worship even when you don't understand, even when you haven't seen it, even when the provision hasn't come, you choose to praise. That's what God wants. Maybe you've been waiting for something for a long time. Maybe God's waiting on you. Maybe there's some things He's been wanting you to do and you just haven't done it yet. You haven't been obedient yet. And so you just keep cycling. And you're saying, God, why? And He's saying, why? Why? That's not always the case, but sometimes that's the case. Sometimes God's waiting on us. So what I want you to do is, I want you to search your heart today. Because I want us to close with worship. We're going to sing that song, Do It Again. One more time. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. We're going to sing that song, Do It Again. And I want us to remember what God has done. And I want to pray today for those of you, you're just going through it. Maybe you need to embrace God for the first time today. You need to embrace His grace and His mercy today for the first time. Maybe you know the Lord, but you've just been wrestling with your faith. Maybe you've kind of given up. Maybe you've kind of gone away. But today you want to just say, you know what? I need to get that right with the Lord today. I need to come back to the Lord today. Maybe there's some wondering. Maybe you're getting weary and you just need somebody to pray for you today. You need to persevere. Come on, today is the day. Today is the day. We need to praise today. We need to praise today. We need to embrace God today. We need to embrace Jesus today. Father, I just thank You right now. I thank You, God, for Your people. I thank You, God, that You love and care for us. That You love us, that You care for us. That Lord, You don't take us through these things because You're unloving. You take us through these things because You are loving and You want to take us deeper. You want to reveal to us things that can't be revealed unless You take us through some things. There's some things, God, you want to work out in our lives. There's some things You're trying to work on us. You're wanting to work out in us. And sometimes, God, You take us through the fire. Sometimes You take us through the purging. Sometimes You take us through the difficult things. Lord, for the Israelites, as Habakkuk was watching, they had turned their backs on You and they were worshiping idols. And God, part of this was to get them to get their eyes off of their useless idols that weren't helping, to get their eyes back on You. Father, I don't know what it is, but maybe, God, there's some of us today, we've got our eyes on the wrong things. And You're calling us to repent. You're calling us to get our eyes back on You. You're calling us to worship You. God, there are some that are wrestling, and I just pray that, Father, in the midst of the wrestling, that they would see Your goodness, and they would remember Your faithfulness, and they would hang on to what they know about You and Your promises. Oh, God, we praise You today. We honor You today. Hallelujah. Will You do it again? Will You do it again?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.